Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drantz. He covers the team for The Athletic. Also, in addition to doing this job, he has two jobs. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. What's up, Drantz?
Not much, buddy.
Do you think I should keep what's up as the opening next year for
That's
the show?
That's not even a question.
You say you're yes.
Also, what happened to calling Drantz a Canucks geek?
I always
I'm
hated
not comfortable with that.
I always hated what's up. That's
no,
why
you told me to do it every show.
Did I?
You got on board. You were like, oh, it's lame. No one says that. I was like, first of all, everyone says what's up all the time.
See, I thought it was an intro that
and
was
designed.
And then
you were like, oh, it's kind of grown on me.
I thought it was an intro that was designed to annoy me.
No. Okay. You, well, now I have to keep it. If I know it's annoying you.
Masterful gambit.
I thought you were on board.
Well, I'm not.
Well, now apparently I have to keep it.
What's up was always my thing. Where I was just like, hello, this, fellow kids.
What's up could not be more normal. Could not be more normal.
It's just like not a thing that gets said anymore.
What do you
so
say?
So what gets said?
Yeah.
Hello.
Greetings?
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, yeah. Hello. That sounds way more useful.
Salutations, you know, my good chum.
I'll be honest. You know what I usually do? I usually go, gentlemen. Like, I walk in.
That's what I say
to you every day.
No, you don't.
I still say gentlemen to you.
I don't think you do.
Well, now I've taken offense.
what do I say when I walk in the morning?
I don't know, to be honest. I say yo to you. You come in, I'm like, yo. That's how it goes.
I'm usually just like taking out my AirPods and being like, oh, I guess I got to stop thinking about running backs.
I think you're a hypocrite. I think you might say what's up to me.
No chance.
I wish I could remember now, but I don't care that much.
You know what I say?
Roll the CCTV.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I say? I say, what's going on, gentlemen?
Yeah.
That's what I
sure.
say.
Sure. Anyways, I just had this like moment of ennui as I was doing it. I was like, am I just going to say what's up Monday to Friday every day for the rest
it's
of my life
thing.
Or should I switch it?
No, I think you should stick with it.
All right, I'll stick with it.
I like continuity.
How do you greet your kids?
How do I greet my kids?
I imagine you say, what's up?
But in a much higher tone, like, what's up, sweetie? Because you have to talk to children.
In a high tone, yes.
Because they react better to it.
I don't know if I say what's up to my kids. I'll have to measure that as well now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your wife.
Yeah.
You got to rethink your whole life now.
Sup, bruh. That's how I greet my wife. Sup, bruh.
All right, as you can probably tell, it is a
my
Friday.
My wife has left me.
Friday.
As you can probably tell, Drantz is no longer married.
I love the ongoing subplot of whether or not you're currently single on the show.
Bachelor Drantz. Yeah.
Classic Bachelor Drantz.
Believe it or not, I'm taken.
Yeah. As you can probably tell, it is a Friday edition of the show here, which means Dmitry Filipovich will join us a little later on for his weekly hit. This is a very lovely thing to say. Someone texted in, personally, what's up from Jamie is the highlight of my week. Well, then I have to keep doing it. If one person is enjoying it out there, then I guess I have to keep doing it. And yeah, the Canucks news and information and all that, the rumors, it continues to trickle out now with the season finish line in sight. So we got a lot to get into. Let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 11th, starting with the headlines. The Canucks, they win again. They're unstoppable. 4-1 win against the Colorado Avalanche without Nathan MacKinnon in the lineup. Three games remaining on the schedule now for the Vancouver Canucks.
So they go up 2-0, and I pointed out on Twitter, right? Like,
yeah,
the Canucks becoming unbeatable after being eliminated from playoff contention is an annual tradition that I'd hoped not to have to remember this season, because honestly, I was watching it. They go up 2-0. I'm like, what's going on? And then I'm like, oh, right. Hello,
they've been eliminated from the playoffs.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Mm-hmm. I remember this. I remember this. Now, I didn't bring it up to be like, and they're soaring their draft position as we've gone over. It doesn't matter, right? This is not the season to fret about meaningless losses at the end of the season. But did you see Hamolytics?
Yeah.
Broke down the numbers. 16-9-5 for the Canucks across 30 games post-elimination since the 2017-18 season. That's 101-point pace in meaningless games.
Unbeatable.
Can the Canucks, like,
can they harness that energy?
Yeah, can we call them the Enucks next season? You know, like, they're the Enucks.
This is why you mentioned the gold plan the other day, right? Yeah. Where your record after you get eliminated determines how high you draft. The Canucks should be pounding the table for the gold plan.
Pounding the table. If we're ever going to select first overall in this city, it's got to be by way of the gold plan. I also did think that the last night was another night of, like, this week of hockey is grating on me. We've had some, like, cool stories and some fun finishes.
There's been some wacky games.
And it's been fun to watch guys like Ryan Leonard and Gabe Perreault get into the lineup, you know? But for the most part, I would say this week of hockey has been tough for me to watch. 2 weeks ago, the hockey was, like, incredible night after night after night as the Blues were sort of steaming through, and, like, the Canucks had that game in New Jersey and that game in Long Island, and, you know, like, the Western Conference playoff race, the games game in, night out, night in, night out were phenomenal and, like, hard, contested hard, lots of physicality, lots of passion. And now it feels like preseason. And in 2 weeks again, it's going to be sick.
It's going to be awesome.
And so I just want to note a couple things. Like, A, man, it's really wild the spate of injuries impacting top players whose teams have already clinched. I can't believe they're all hurt at once, Jamie. That's really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. And two, last night, like, Columbus and Rangers wins would have been massive if they were still jockeying for play-in positioning instead of just like, okay. And Vancouver winning after Utah beat Nashville, right, would have been massive because those teams would be fighting for the last play-in spot. That game would have had significant consequences last night. The league, I think, needs to solve this. I do. I think the last 2 weeks of the season, the last 2.5 weeks of the season, have really become a slog that take, and that we all know that the playoffs is going to be incredible, but I really, it feels like 2 weeks ago I was so locked in night after night, and now I'm watching and I'm just, I feel like my balloon has been punctured.
It's tough too, because the whole logic of the point system is to keep teams involved as long as possible,
right?
And yet really only Calgary of a team is the only team with a chance that's not currently in a playoff spot, like, to make it. And it's like a pretty faint chance.
And that, no, but that game tonight, because whether their chance is real or not, the Calgary Flames and Flames customers can expect to watch two teams going for it tonight. So there's, like, one more, at least one more regular season game that we're going to see played at, like, a pitch above a regular season, like an average regular season game. And everything else is going to be played somewhere between preseason and regular season passion level.
Yeah.
Like, did you notice that even like slap shots, like teams, neither team really took slap shots last night in the Canucks Avalanche game? Did you notice that? No one wants to block a 95 mile per hour slap shot at this point.
Yeah, but my point is, like, with the standing system, you're not even getting the, you have this standing system that, like, hands out 3-point games arbitrarily,
right?
But you're not even getting
the drama at the end,
like,
of the year.
Theoretically, it should be like, well, we have 5 teams battling for these playoff spots in the final week, and you're not even getting that this year, certainly.
For sure.
And oftentimes it ends up shaking out like that.
Play-in, if you had a play-in, 81-81, 79-79 in the East.
Yeah.
Right? So you'd have 4 teams going, like, absolutely ham to secure one of 2 remaining play-in spots where you'd have to win 2 games to punch your ticket to play the 8th seed, right? Or the first seed. So, I mean, that would be phenomenal. There'd still be a potential of an Islanders Capitals first round, a Detroit Capitals first round, a Rangers Capitals first round, a Blue Jackets. But those teams would have to win twice. And likewise in the West, you'd still have real stakes between Vancouver and Utah. Like, there'd be something meaningful to play for there.
Yeah.
And frankly, even between Vancouver and Calgary, you'd have home ice in that single game elimination contest.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the NHL needs to rethink this. We're seeing star players get shut down. We are seeing games that are absolute no-hitters. We are seeing teams reluctant to use slap shots. Like, these are preseason games, and it sucks. I don't like it.
And the one thing I will say is, at least with the Canucks being officially eliminated relatively late in the season this year compared to past instances of this, as you said, this isn't like a draft position thing, because there's no drama about their draft position. It's 14 through 16. That's where they're going to pick, and it's basically interchangeable. So there's no, like, oh, I hope they lose out so they get a really good draft pick. That's not in the cards. There's has nothing to do with that. Thank goodness it's a shorter death march. So we don't have to have that debate and that conversation like we have in years past. But from a league-wide perspective, I think you're right. The play in something like that to improve the viewing experience at this stage of the season. Now, zeroing in on the Canucks game last night, I think there are a couple of noteworthy things to talk about from that game. I mean, first of all, as we're kind of on milestone watch for a lot of players, Kiefer Sherwood scores his 19th goal, gets to 40 points on the year, so you know his teammates will be looking for him to get to 20 on the season, which would, of course, be a new career high. They're all new career highs for Kiefer Sherwood right now in the final three games. And a first, DPD with his first career NHL fight, and the folklore, the legend of DPD continues to grow in this market. And this is one of the reasons why I have taken a little bit of issue with the everything's gone wrong for this team talking point and storyline, because like Kiefer Sherwood has 40 points, Pugh Suter has 25 goals or whatever. You know what I mean? Like there are things that have gone right for this team. And yeah, he didn't come up until midway through the season, but DPD's development is another really significant thing that's gone right. And look, the fight, people love to see it. They just love to see that energy, that snarl from a young player. And I was saying to you before the show, the thing I love most about it is he doesn't seem at all like he's trying to prove anything to anyone. Like there's nothing performative about it where he's saying like, hey, look at me. Look how tough I can be. You can tell it's just who he is. It's just how he goes about his business, and it would be impossible to change. And again, to see a young player come into the NHL and just immediately make his mark with that side of the game specifically, that's a really exciting prospect for Canucks fans. Start thinking down the road about having this guy in the blue line for a long time.
Yeah, look, I've been very impressed. He is a brick house of a human being at this point. Yes. You know, I mean, and he has some of that so I'm going to drop a comparison, but I'm dropping it in a very narrow sense. You didn't watch Kevin Bieksa play and get Scott Stevens-like, like, head up, young buck, over the blue line, highlight reel, guy goes flying, hits. But you got a lot of those hits in the corner where it just looked like, oh, ooh. You just knew that opponents would be wearing like 10% extra ice bags as a result of some of what Bieksa was playing them with physically. And Pettersson has that vibe. The fact that he can actually fight, because he chucked him. And the fact that he'd never been in a fight before of any kind, any variety.
No, although I think it was Chris Faber on Twitter who posted pictures of when he'd been covering an Abbotsford practice either last year or earlier this year, and DPD was like seeking out fighting training from guys who had fought there. Nice. So you know what I mean? He's like, I've never done this before, but I'm me, so I'm going to do it at some point, so I better figure out what's going on here, which is fantastic.
Yeah, he's cool, man. Just a cool player, cool prospect, loved the fight, but more than that, he scored his first goal against the Ducks to sort of start that 5-goal in 4.5-minute rally. And I was surprised. Like, I feel like he should have 6-7 points. Does he only have 3? He only has 3.
Yeah.
But he should have double that amount. He's actually getting into scoring areas. He's actually challenging goaltenders and, like, getting pucks past the first defender from the point pretty well. I think his pinching instinct creates some offense, especially because he's such a bowling ball. Like, if you're a winger trying to just, like, get the touch that clears the zone and you've got that bearing down on you down the wall, like, that's scary, man. Like, that sucks. It's a hard play to make. He picks his spots really well. He doesn't get burnt in that spot much, and he actually tends to be disruptive there. He helps the Canucks keep possession, which already has given him some, like, actual offensive value or offense has helped him make an offensive impact 5-on-5 despite not being that type of player. He's not just a good skater. He's got actual speed, right? He's not just big. He kind of hits to hurt. He uses that size well. He's willing to fight, we know now, right? He sought out opportunities to fight. He's willing to impact the game on that side of the ledger. We've seen him get into it with a variety of higher profile players. He's clearly completely unafraid. So, like, let's put this all together. Guy's got maybe a deceptive level of offensive skill. Guy is faster than I think we realized. Guy is completely comfortable playing the game within a game and providing actual toughness. And he's a defensive defenseman prospect.
Mm-hmm.
There might be more upside here.
Well, and that's going to be the question, right? Is it
than we thought?
Is he like an awesome piece to have on your third pair that brings that identity and is kind of, you know, not just a third pair defenseman as a guy you plug a hole with, but someone who brings that extra element from the third pair? Or is there enough supporting offense that you feel really good? Not just, oh, hey, he can play up and, you know, he's our fourth defenseman. We've got him paired with somebody good, but that you feel really good about him as a top four defenseman. That was always going to be the question. I mean, I think it was, you know, I always go back to our guy Books a couple of years ago now saying, like, he thought there might be that upside there with Elias Pettersson, not just the physical defensive stuff. And I do think you're seeing that, right? Yeah. And it doesn't have to be sky high. So much of it is just about not taking things off the table. Even in the top four role, yeah, you need to be able to handle the puck. You need to be able to do all those things. But with his skating ability, there's a decent chance that that is something he can develop into down the road. Then all of a sudden from the third round, I mean, that's an incredible find from the third round when you add all that together.
And put it this way, from an offensive standpoint, okay? First year of professional hockey in North America this season, right? He's played 53 games now between the NHL and the AHL, and he has 16 points. Now, that doesn't seem like a huge haul, but for a non-power play defenseman, extrapolate that over 82, and you get a 25-point pace. Yep. I mean, that is legitimate. That's really
what we're talking about.
That's
right?
High-quality offensive production, frankly, from a non-power play weapon, especially if he's providing plus physical value and plus defense, which, you know, he's not providing plus defense yet, but I think that's in there, especially with the authority and calm that he already plays with. I'm really high on this guy. I don't think we can put a ceiling on him. I don't think I'm reluctant to drop high-end comps like Matthias Ekholm. I don't think I'm nervous about that at all. Like, there is a lot of ceiling here, a lot more ceiling than...
And you're not saying he's going to be Matthias Ekholm, right? That's like a ceiling comp. That's another level than even what we're talking
that's
about.
That's a top
right?
pair
like, that's a top pair number two defenseman, right?
Well, and a guy who, like, can do a lot offensively, right? Yeah. I mean... And by the way, Matthias Ekholm also, like a seventh round pick, didn't have a lot of offensive production in his profile before he came to the North American game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so yeah, that would be my high end comp. I think you can easily come up with a million low end comps.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the third pair guys, but I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility for him based on what we're seeing, how impressive the raw tools are, and the fact that at this point he really does seem to be on one of those like exponential development curves, right? Like he's growing at such a massive rate that if it continues, I don't even think I'd be putting a ceiling on him like second pair defenseman. He could be a second pair defenseman. It's like, I am willing to see more. I think he could be better than that. Even
that's a big deal. Getting it from a recent or still relatively recent third round pick, and we're having that conversation, and it's not fantasy land stuff, right? Like that's a really important thing for a team that obviously had struggled to develop defensemen for a long, long time there coming out of the draft. Anything else you want to touch on from the game last night?
Sherwood has a chance to get to 20, which would be really cool for him. Would really help drive his third contract value or his next contract value, even though he's got a year remaining with the Canucks. Do you consider extending him this summer? Because he's extension eligible. I don't know.
I don't know. I probably not. But
I think you wait because you want to see him repeat as a 20-goal scorer. I would add, too, like, he scores 20. He's got 40 points. He set an NHL record for hits. I mean, he's been awesome. And yet, when we have seen him play in the top four, I still think he's a little bit... his shot rate is awesome, but I still think you want him as sort of like a rush attacking threat. Maybe he could play in the top six with the right type of line mate, but with the Pettersson or Miller when we saw it previously, I didn't like that fit. I want someone who maybe shoots a little less, actually. Assesses value a little bit differently, maybe brings a little bit more as a playmaker. So I love the rush scoring threat. I love the two-way game. But I still don't see him as one of those guys having like Alex Burrows.
I think you love him ripping shots constantly if Teddy Bluger is his center, but not if like whoever you want is your top two guys or your centers. You know what I mean? It's like takes a little too much off the table from the other guys.
But I'd be more open to seeing it with Filip Hedl because Hedl cooks off the rush.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that makes sense to me as opposed to a guy like Pettersson who I want to see. I want to see a guy who can dig pucks a little bit better. I want to see a guy who can sort of sustain and do a little bit more creatively off in-zone possession. So just an interesting season and a phenomenal contribution from Sherwood in his first year in Vancouver. 20 goals is really cool for him. Like, you just got to happy for a guy like
20
that.
Goals, 40 points, an NHL hits record. I mean, that could you design a better stat line for a bottom six player? Well, like, come on, that's what you want.
Yeah, and if you're a bottom six player too and you get 20 goals, you're always a 20 goal scorer.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
Yeah, that's nice. To the broadsheet quickly here, and some of these things maybe we can expand on a little later in the show, but following up on Brock Besser's commentary to Ian McIntyre for Sportsnet.ca from yesterday, of course, saying it's unlikely that he'll be back at this point with the Canucks. Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts saying Besser is heartbroken about the end of his Canucks tenure being in sight. Of course, not official yet. Rick Dhaliwal on Halford and Brough this morning saying that he expects the Canucks to take another run at Besser in a few weeks, but term remains the issue. And at this point, how much more can there be to discuss, really? Like, it's not as if this is a surprise to the two parties that they find themselves in this situation. They've known this was coming. I'm sure they've had ample opportunity to exchange numbers. They know where each other stands. Now, there's always a chance someone bends. We've talked about that a lot with Brock Besser. Even though he's saying it's unlikely, you never know. But Rick Dhaliwal reporting that he expects the Canucks to take another run at Besser in the next few weeks. And also, this was interesting, Dhaliwal saying the Canucks have made an offer to talk it at an extension, but it wasn't good enough. It was rejected. So that's the latest on Rick Tocchet per Rick Dhaliwal from earlier today on Halford and Brough right here on Sportsnet 650. Lineup roster notes. Most important thing here, Tom Volander's season continues. Boston University, they beat Penn State 3-1 in the Frozen Four semifinal. They'll play Western Michigan for the national championship on Saturday. So one more game we expect at the NCAA level for Tom Volander. And I know, you know, Rick Dhaliwal continues to say, well, going back to school could be an option. As we were talking about in the show yesterday, every incentive in the world for the Canucks to get this done quickly and get him ideally playing for Abbotsford, because even in the rush scenario now, there would only be two NHL games remaining for Volander if things happen as quickly as possible. So his season will end tomorrow and then we'll see what happens, but there's a good chance that we're coming in on Monday and talking about a Tom Volander signing or ELC contract or amateur tryout contract, I guess, with the Vancouver Canucks. Playoff standings update. There's really not much to talk about here, but the Canucks 2 points ahead of Utah if you're really locked in on draft positioning right now with the same number of games played, and they're 1 point back of Calgary. Calgary has a game in hand. So there you go. There's your big standings update for the Canucks. Is there anything you want to hit in the gambling odds section for us today, Drancer? No?
Not especially. Save your money.
There you go.
Use your game
buy
sense.
Gold. That's the big tip for today.
I'm on Benedict Mathurin, 25 points tonight.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I'm on tonight.
Good Canadian kid. Yeah. All right, that's the whiteboard for today. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We went the whole show yesterday without talking about some interesting comments from Patrick Alvin on Elias Pettersson, so we can get into those in the next segment and send your text. We'll read some of them as well. Again, 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. It is Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.